Hello, regulars. You're listening to Floor by Floor, a Tower of God podcast discussing the latest chapters of the webtoon. I'm Reziot.
And I'm Verilane.
And we're your hosts. Welcome to the seventh floor, where we'll be discussing chapter 572, or season 3, episode 155. This is a nice long one. There's plenty of talking and story development, but not a lot goes on, so it's going to be a lot of summary and a little bit of discussion. But before we dive into that, let's start with a recap.
In the last chapter, Bomb rushes into the lobby calling Yuri's name and is recognized by everyone there. Kun takes off to the family head's door to negotiate and tells Bomb not to get caught. Tiara chases after Bomb, but the thorn manifests, copies Tiara's Shinsu body technique, and Tiara's hand passes right through him. She is shocked and recognizes his ability to be a threat to the family heads. Shiliel, Liliel, Dravi, Hemis, and Snake Dad head towards Laura's room. Liliel and Shiliel talk about trusting the Slayer candidate. Shiliel tells Liliel to give up on the marriage competition and focus on getting back to their team. They enter Laura's room, and Laura is warm towards Liliel but cold towards Shiliel. When Laura sees the Snake Master, she is upset and shocked and promptly passes out. Shiliel says they will put their mother in a lighthouse because they don't have much time to escape before the gate closes. Hemis and Dravi speak outside the room. Hemis is taking off to find her family's guardian beast, and Dravi acknowledges her wish, despite thinking that her chances of making it out alive are zero, unless a miracle happens. Shiliel, Liliel, Dravi, and Snake Dad arrive at the lobby and it's wrecked. Holin is fighting Bomb and Rock with Yuri backing them up. Tiara is also chasing after Bomb and failing to get a hold of his Shinsu body. Tiara then makes her pen big, scribbles on the ground, and turns herself into a monstrous anglerfish with a big mouth in order to catch him. Meanwhile, Kun pushes open the family head's door and reveals a weird temporal zone with floating DNA. Tramurai scolds Kun, but Kun goes on to introduce himself as Bomb's best friend, here to negotiate on his behalf. Tramurai calls him insane, and I agree. Bomb and Rock are facing off against Tiara the monster. Bomb's pocket timer shows 1 minute left, so he and Rock team up to fight their way through Holin and Tiara to reach the gate. Shiliel is surprised by how easily Bomb takes out the strongest hatchling with one hit, and thinks he may be useful after all. Bomb tells Yuri to head to the gate, and thinks to himself that they need to hurry. From somewhere unknown, Endorsi sneezes, like someone is gossiping behind her back. And that's how the chapter ended, with a sneeze.
It was a short one, just a little setup for this really intense chapter. The chapter starts with Kun standing at the family head's doorway. With 1 minute and 53 seconds left on the pocket timer, Kun asks Tramurai to make a deal with him under equal circumstances. As he's speaking, Kun sends Bomb a message telling him that he will stall for time before heading out with Endorsi, and tells Bomb not to wait for him and to get out under any circumstance. Endorsi also receives a message and is seen looking at her pocket, calling Kun out for being a liar and wondering what he's planning. Tramurai is open to listen to what Kun has to say, as long as it's what the regular wants. If it's nonsense, though, he threatens to drop Kun into the Lopobia's Grand Aquarium, which recently had a hungry creature released into it. Kun thinks to himself, that sounds scary, but also fun. Kun states that he will get to the point and says no one wants the marriage to happen, so the game is a bust. In their stead, he offers Tramurai a game. If he wins, he wants Tramurai to call off the wedding and let them go. Tramurai thinks briefly before answering no, calls it nonsense, and that he'll be dropping Kun into the aquarium. Kun comes in with a wait, hear me out about the game. And then he pulls out his personal chessboard. This catches Tramurai's attention. Kun tells him that he read in history books how Tramurai was a better player than Gustong at the game. He asks him to play speed chess with him, and if Tramurai wins before the gate closes, he'll give up. But if he manages to hold on until then, to let them go. Tramurai is not convinced, asking Kun why should he play with someone so lowly. Kun taunts him for being scared, and Tramurai says he lacks motivation. He would give Kun the honor of playing with him, but he would have nothing to gain from it. Kun offers him intel on who the mole is. Tramurai, who is starting to come around, asks him why he is telling him that. Kun says that if Tramore wins, he will cooperate in helping him find out who the traitors are. He offers his lighthouse with the timer to when the gate closes to track the game. His win condition will be to be able to keep up with the game until the gate closes, and Tramore's win condition is to defeat him before the gate closes. Also, there is no getting up once the game starts or it's game over. Again, Kun reiterates that if he wins, he wants Tramore to give up chasing Bomb and his friends and to let them go. If Tramore wins, he'll go along with the marriage plan and not resist. Kun adds a little taunt. It's a good deal for Tramore if he thinks he can beat Kun. There's no reaction, and Kun sweats it for a moment, but Tramore stands up and agrees to his game. He agrees not to move until the game is set, while Kun grins. He's got him. Tramore adds that the traitor is a family affair, and he will capture them no matter what. If there is interference, then the match is forfeit. Kun agrees. And then we get a shot of Kun's personal chess set, themed with marine animals. He states that the game will start 2 minutes before the gate opens.
Right then, we cut to the pocket's timer showing 35 seconds left until the gate opens. Bomb urges Yuri to run for the gate. The Snake Master is asked to assist, and snakes fly towards Tiara the monster as Bomb, Rock, and Yuri make their escape. It's a short interlude because we cut back to Kun making small talk with Tramore as they play their chess game. As someone from one of the 10 families, Kun says, he doesn't understand why they are fighting when things used to be fine between them. Why couldn't they just stop the war and get along as they used to? Tramore responds that that's impossible. Kun analyzes his answer, noting that he didn't say that he didn't want to, but that it was impossible, implying that he has no choice in the matter and the Lopo Biao family is not who started this war. Kun turns to the lighthouse showing the battle outside and comments how the princesses are also escaping out of the gate. He asks, if they are going that far to avoid marriage, shouldn't Tramore, as their father, reconsider? Also, he adds, why does Tramore want Bomb as his successor so badly that he'd turn a princess of Jihad into a bride? Bomb is a lot stronger, he goes on, but he's not strong enough to defeat a family head. What role could he possibly want him for? Tramore calls him out for asking pointless questions. Kun keeps rambling, saying Pope Dagustang also wants Bomb, and that's why he was sent there. He tells Tramore about the strange book he saw, how Gustang told them the history and past that they know is false. He then asks Tramore who Icarus is, and Tramore seems to catch an interest, but dismisses it by saying he can't recall such a name. Kun notices how it's the first time Tramore has looked at him since the start of the chess game. There must be something more to that. Kun is playing defensively to buy time, but he can't read Tramore's moves, and his defense is being crushed despite their fast pace. He'll lose, he concludes. He was never going to last 5 minutes against a family head, either way.
We cut back to Bomb, Rack, and Yuri running as the snakes launch themselves towards Tiara the monster. The pocket timer shows 15 seconds left until the gate opens. The snakes wrap themselves around Tiara, and Tiara starts to panic. She refuses to let Bomb slip through her fingers and starts moving towards Bomb and company despite being tied up by the snakes. The snakes are winning, though, and Tiara is being held down by their power. The gate opens, and a warp ship comes through. The pocket timer resets to 3 minutes until the gate closes. Chilliel, Lilliel, Bomb, Rock, and Dravi race up the stairs towards the warp ship, but Bomb stops at the top step. Rock asks him what's wrong, and Bomb says that Kun and Endorsi are not here yet. Rock yells that they will come and for him not to be so slow. Even videos longer than 1 minute are considered too long. Bomb looks comically confused and just goes, oh, okay. 2 minutes remain on the timer, and Yuri tells everyone to go ahead. She'll hold off Tiara the monster as best as she can until the gate closes. She even tells the Snake Master to go with them. 1 minute and 31 seconds remain, and Yuri taunts Tiara that she looks ugly now. Was she willing to look like that just to get the bomb? She calls Tiara a stubborn woman as she unleashes her full power with dual needles, but the attack seems to go right through her monster Shinsu body to Yuri's annoyance. Yuri falls back into the portal just as Tiara's monster gob closes around it. Tiara returns to her human form in front of the portal, angry that Yuri got away. The timer shows 45 seconds left, and Tiara thinks that she still has time. She'll take damage going through the portal without a ship, but she can still catch them if she goes in now. She stops suddenly as she feels an ominous aura coming from the family head's room. Matt shows up, apologizing for missing the others. He asks Tiara if she's okay, and Tiara answers that she is and that they're leaving.
We cut to Traumerai saying checkmate and that this is the end. He comments on how Kun may have skill for a regular, but he was disappointing nonetheless. The gate is still open, so he's won, and he will take his leave to take his winnings. As promised, the wedding will proceed. He taunts Kun, saying he hopes he finds pleasure in seeing his friend's resentful eyes. Traumerai steps out of the room and freezes. The lobby is empty. The gate is closed. Kun comes up behind him, saying he isn't imagining things. Before the chess game ended, the gate had already closed. Traumerai asks about the leftover time, and Kun admits he lied. The gate opened at the start of the game, and Baum and company should have left immediately. The lighthouse feed was delayed by 2 minutes in order to distract Traumerai from what was happening outside. His actual win condition wasn't to last 5 minutes, but to not lose until the gate closed. He lost the chess game, but he didn't lose Baum. Traumerai calls him a fool. The traitor would be caught whether he won or lost, and if Kun interfered, the match would be forfeit. If he was trying to fool him with his tongue, he should have kept his ears open too. Did Kun think he had no idea about the traitor or their escape plan? He already knew who the traitor was, and he was informed of the escape plan. He only let them go in order to see the traitor's movements. While Kun was preoccupied with the match, 2 branch family heads were dispatched to capture the traitor and his friends. If Kun interferes, the match is forfeit, and if he doesn't, they can't escape. It's another checkmate. Traumerai admits he only played along for his own entertainment. He enjoyed watching him try to escape, scheme, and lie, all to fail. Kun thinks to himself that Traumerai is the most twisted person he's ever seen. And the chapter ends there.
A double checkmate. How are you going to get yourself out of this one, buddy?
This man is literally in front of the maw of a giant shark that's about to eat him or grind him into fish paste. And he's talking to him without a shred of respect. He doesn't use a speck of formal language with Traumerai. He's just up in there and be like, hey, play chess with me.
And he thinks this is fun. He's crazy.
It's Adrenaline Junkie Kun 2.0 coming back at us again. And seriously, high elo chess is some intense stuff. I feel like this has got to be Kun hiding the fact that, yes, he's afraid and aware of his own fear, but hiding it behind a mask of confidence, because what else does he have here? He's literally going to be dangled and thrown into a giant aquarium. What do you think about Traumerai stating it's impossible to stop the war?
For someone like Traumerai to say so definitively that it's impossible to stop it, it doesn't sound like it's coming from him. It's almost like he's been brainwashed to repeat it, you know?
Like he's agreed to something? Like he's doing something for some other reason that we just are not privy to?
We only got a bit of the conversation with Jihad, so there's got to be more to the orders that he has received. He has confirmed himself that he is not the one that's behind any of this. But we also don't know the reason why. Despite all the information Kun was able to push out and the little bit that he got back, it still is not enough for us to figure out what the heck is going on.
It's got me thinking on some possible theories as to what's going on in the background here. I wonder here if it's that the 10 family heads are following a fate Jihad might have seen a long time ago, and Jihad probably told them about. They probably sat down and discussed all the options available to them, you know, whether avoiding it or going along with it or trying to change it. Because there is a panel where Traumerai says, in regards to Jinsung, how Jinsung's trying to avoid a fate that they've chosen for him. So I feel like this has some viability to it. But at the same time, Jihad gives me some mad gaslighting vibes. He's probably gaslighting Traumerai right now, especially it being easier to manipulate him with a gap in his memories. Jihad and Gustong know damn well that's Arlene's son. Why does Jihad make no mention of that to Traumerai ever? Hmm? And what do they want Baum for in this war? To protect Jahad? To knock out Jahad? Break the immortality pact? Topple the tower's order? Start climbing again? Who knows? As always, Siu always gives us a couple of answers, but replaces the rest of that with like 50 more questions.
Indeed. I have a feeling that they're trying to put Baum back on a path of destruction, because he keeps fighting his fate, and we know that Huarian has seen multiple paths for him, but him being an irregular has been very difficult to figure out exactly which goes where. But again, we get clues that such a thing exists in the tower, because it's been reiterated by the Fug Elders, it's reiterated right now by Traumaray and Jahad, and all of them about fates and destinies and paths and all of this fun stuff. So this a direction, an option for Baum that he keeps resisting. And where does it lead to?
That's interesting, though. If they're trying to railroad him onto a specific path to make a certain fate happen for one reason or another. It'd be some like 4D chess, haha chess, if it's meant to eventually lead to a way to open up the top of the tower. Maybe it's locked to them for one reason or another. That would be interesting if that's what they're trying to do, or if that's what the premise is, that's just family heads fighting towards which fate they want to choose for the future of the tower. And Jahad's just kind of sweeping everything he did with his little crush and killing her baby and stuff just under the carpet, because he's like, oops, yeah, I did that. I know it was kind of a crime of passion. I'm sorry, but you guys don't need to know that.
If he can't beat him, then control him? Question mark?
Question mark. Because who knows how many of them remember.
Yeah, we don't know if he's taken memories from other people and is also gaslighting them.
He's shown some potential of being able to modify memories, considering he did it to his own Data self. He dumped some of his memories into Data Jahad. And Data Jahad also made mention that if he hears a name he shouldn't hear, it like immediately starts erasing his memories. There are so many layers to this, and it's all so messed up.
And talking about manipulation of memories, when Traumaray heard the name Icarus, he seemed to show interest in it for a little bit, and then was like, I don't remember. Does he actually not remember? Is he just playing hard to get? Or maybe this is one of the same abilities that Data Jahad mentioned, that is his memory just rewriting itself, and he doesn't actually remember it.
He says he can't recall it. Maybe it still gives him like some sort of like emotion towards it, but he can't explain it because he's missing the memory that sparks that kind of emotion. Like his body remembers, but his mind does not.
But we don't know.
But we don't know. Does that mean that Baum holds all the answers by way of the Leviathan? That worm needs to start talking to us, not just to Baum. And I know that Kuhn is referring to Icarus as a person, but it could also be a concept. Because he only really skimmed the book. And Icarus is just kind of mentioned as a name. But what if that's the name of what, like, Wangnan, Karaka, the boss, the captain, all the other guys, whatever they were supposed to be?
Still so many questions left. And I have a feeling we're not going to get that answer anytime soon, seeing that Icarus is a name that's been foreshadowed and told to us for a long time within the story.
Years. And it drives me insane that Rachel knows more about it than any of us do.
That bastard. But how about we keep speculating? Kuhn's chess set.
Kuhn's chess set. During this whole time that they're talking, Kuhn's chess set is just prominently displayed. And as mentioned before, it is a set made up of marine animals. You know how all of us love our symbolism in this story. So for funsies and giggles, how about we analyze the pieces? So, Kuhn's chessboard has the following: golden whales as kings, blue sharks as queens, stingrays as bishops, seahorses as knights, giant octopi as rooks, and sea turtles as pawns. Both black and white pieces are inlaid with gold, and Kuhn is playing the black and gold side against Traumaray. The whales themselves, as kings, could be said to represent what's at stake on the board, and beyond, of course. Traumaray himself and Baum. Baum has been mentioned a few times to be a shark, and Kuhn plays a shark queen to take out a stingray bishop. and the only person to have a stingray in their possession is Gustong's treasure-eating stingray. That took some of Jahad's possessions, the bracelet and Wan Nan's insignia ring. What could that mean? And one of Kun's opening moves, and more later on, has him manipulating a seahorse knight. Seahorses are known to cling to the environment around them to keep powerful ocean currents from sweeping them away. Something Kun is definitely trying to do as he chases after Bom. And, of course, all the pawns are turtles. And Kun figures out he's losing as he's holding a black turtle pawn in his hand. Take all of that as you will.
Seeing that Siyu loves to play with visual clues, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something hidden in there, maybe in the setup of the board or something, but it's going to be really hard to figure that out until we get it revealed.
For sure. And overanalyzing visual cues has always been a fun pastime while reading Tog. There's a lot of it scattered all throughout the story. And a couple people were asking in the aftermath of the chapter, where could Kun have gotten this chess set from? He mentions in the chapter that he's always carried it with him. Like, maybe he bought it in the tower, or maybe he stole it from Edon's treasure hoard. And the first thing that came to my mind is him playing against Rock and Rock just eating the pieces.
I love that meme.
Me too.
And them getting into a fight. Kun punching him in the stomach to cough it back up.
Most likely.
And Bomb laughing in the background, ha ha ha, as he always does. But talking about visual cues hidden among the story, we got some more visual cues in case you didn't get enough.
So, we got a picture of the branch heads waiting for Bomb and company on the other side of the gate. One of them was the Grey Wolf branch leader, the branch that Elaine, or Kaiser, is from, who was last seen on a flashback on Season 3, Episode 110, when Yasracha was sent to the battle to subdue Akronach, and we saw a hologram of Jahad observing that battle. This is probably a little out there, but I want to think that that particular branch head showing up again could serve as a hint that we may get a convergence of characters here, where Yama and co. appear alongside Robidon's forces, as part of the traitor group working against Chomrai on the other side of the gate to ensure the others escape. Heck, what if they're trying to bait Chomrai out? Kinda dumb, but also, Robidon did contemplate the possibility of facing the family head himself.
Pretty brave. And we don't know what Robidon's full potential is, so we're not too sure how that battle is gonna turn out.
All we know is Robidon's someone of great standing. And he carries a big stick. And big sticks are dangerous. But going back to the lobby, do you think Kun might rely on Bong Bong and Endorsi to pop into the gate? It's supposed to open every 3 minutes, like 3 minutes on, 3 minutes off. So they might have a chance to go through. But Chomrai would follow, I'd figure, which is what leads me to that theory that I just mentioned, where maybe Robidon's forces will be there. But what's the point of the deal anyways that they had besides just to stall for time? It just feels like it's pointing in that direction. So do you think Kun and Endorsi would gun for it, or?
Kun's plans are not over, and Endorsi understands that too. So she trusts them. Most likely Bong Bong is involved somehow to get them from point A to point B, because it's been so gosh darn useful in the story so far, especially when they're put in a cornered situation like this. But it's so hard to get into Kun's head. As we saw, it seemed like he was 5 steps ahead, but Chomrai was 10 steps ahead of him. Or is it that Kun has already taken this into consideration, and he has an even better plan? It's really hard to think that Kun has the ability to outsmart Chomrai, but he is a lucky bastard.
I was about to say, luck definitely has to be on his side here, or he's going to be fish food.
Fish do love him, though. Maybe that'll be the turning point. They drop him into the fish tank, and he befriends all the fish there. And then there's an army of fish that come out to kill Chomrai.
Women hate him, fish love him.
He turns into Aquaman for a moment.
I am curious as to what Xinhui was that Chomrai dumped into his tank. And if you remember from about 2 weeks ago, or was it last week? I can't even remember anymore. Time just blurs when it comes to talk. Himesai mentioned she was going to run off and try to find her guardian beast. What if it's that?
Because what else would Siyu tell us about it to not bring it back into the story?
And why would Jinsung and Cha be riding a stupid submarine?
More aquatic themes.
More plot convergence. Because right now, it sure feels like we're about to hit a POV switch. And I hope that during this POV switch, that Bomb and Rock don't come to regret listening to Kun and leaving him behind.
I love how we said, there's no way Bomb's gonna leave without Kun. And then he went ahead and did it.
For once, he went ahead and did it. I hope this doesn't bite him.
We didn't think he could do it. He's been so stubborn. But that's how much he's grown, that he trusts him that much. So there's a couple of things that come with that POV switch.
Where do you think we'll go? Holin's there in the lobby. Will he finally get to stop burning and relay his message to Tramurai from Gustang? As we mentioned, maybe Kun does turn into fish food and potentially gets to meet Tramurai's new pet in his aquarium. Maybe we'll cut to Bomb and Company getting the villain monologue and then getting saved somehow. And where the heck are Jinsung and Cha? Are they the ones that are going to save Kun from the aquarium, considering they're in a dugong submarine of all things? I can't get over that submarine. God, that design.
It's not menacing at all. And it doesn't look that functional. But it's cute nonetheless.
It is. Well, maybe we'll find out in the next episode of The Bomb Chiller, Lopobia edition.
Thanks for joining us, regulars. We'll see you on the next floor. Goodbye.
Have a good one.